لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله ارسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعه من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as we gather on this blessed day of Yom al-Jum'ah, and it's just as every Jum'ah is blessed, but this occasion as we are in the month of Rasul alayhi salam's birth and the month of receiving on this earth, remembering him that as he came to humanity, as he came to this universe, and remembering his sunnah, his lifestyle. It is a different thing to celebrate only on one day and then forget for the rest of the 365 days or 364 days, forget about what is there in us. But it's a totally different thing to have the love of Rasul alayhi salam alive every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year, till the last breath comes out of our bodies. And that is the significance of the impact and the influence of Rasul alayhi salam. See, anybody can come and claim that I love so and so, I love this and that, I love these things. Anyone can come and claim that I love Rasulullah. But there has to be a mi'yar, a mizan. There has to be a standard. There has to be an evaluation system, mizan. الذي يوزن الحب إلى رسول عليه السلام والحب إلى الله. See, this is what the Sahaba came and told the Prophet that إِنَّا لَمُحِبُّ رَبَّنَا. Certainly, O Prophet of Allah, we love our Rabb, we love our Allah. فأنذر الله آية من سورة آل عمران. Allah's mother revealed right there and then to respond to this claim of theirs in Surah Al Imran, Surah 3 in the sequence of the Quran, verses 31 and 32 were revealed at this junction when the Sahaba claimed that they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's mother is saying, you can never attain and accomplish true eternal love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless and until you love Rasul alayhi salam. As Allah SWT tells us, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah SWT is saying that, O Muhammad alayhi salam, tell them, inform these people who have come to you to claim that they love Allah, the Creator, the Master, the Originator. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. If you really and dearly and surely love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O mu'min, any mu'min, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing in this verse, all the mu'mineen, whoever claims, iddai, whoever claims from their tongue, from their heart and soul, that I love Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, your love is incomplete unless and until you love Rasul alayhi salam. And the love of Rasul alayhi salam is incomplete unless and until we implement his sunnah fi hayatina. What love is this? As Rabia Basriya, she said, one of the awliya Allah from the past century, she said once, إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ مُطِيعٌ. She said that the person who loves something, إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَا يُحِبُّ مُطِيعٌ. Whoever loves something or someone would be automatically obedient. This would be a significant emblem, symbolism of the love. And that is why Rasulullah said very, very clearly that if you want to profess your love for me, مَنْ أَحَبَّنِي فَقَدْ أَطَانِي. As he said, that whoever loves me, then I have to see them in action. I have to see them in physical action, in their lifestyle, in their character, in their adab, in their akhlaq, in their manners, in their etiquettes, in their interactions, in their dealings, in their mu'amalat, with their wives, with their husbands, with their children, with their parents. This is the alamatul hubb of Rasulullah Islam. How do I behave as a father? How do I behave as a son? How do I behave as a brother? How do I behave as a husband? All these relationships that I behold as a male, and likewise, vice versa for a female. Now how does she behave as a mother, as a daughter, as a sister, as a grandmother, whatever the relationship it may be, and as a wife? That is her or his significance of love. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying very clearly, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking in this ayah, verse 31 in Surah Al-Imran, to asking Rasulullah to tell the mu'mineen that, look, O Muslims, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. O Muslims, if you really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِ. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even let go in this ayah of فَاتَّبِعُوا اللَّهَ ثُمَّ رَسُولُ. He directly went on and said, فَاتَّبِعُونِ. Obey Rasulullah. Why? Because in the obedience of Rasulullah is the obedience of Allah. As Allah said in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَطَعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَعَ اللَّهَ. وَمَنْ أَطَعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَعَ اللَّهَ. Because وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. Allah is telling us very clearly in the Quran, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He is not talking on his hawa, on his nafs, on his own desire and wish and whim. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى إِلَيْهِ. Allah is saying that whatever Rasulullah says, orders, tells us, is all of it a wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayah, فَاتَّبِعُونِ. He has left his mentioning, Allah has left his own mentioning in this ayah aside and said, O Muslims, if you really love this man, if you really love and profess and claim, no matter what you can claim the moon, but you have to prove it, that you went to the moon. So if someone claims as a believer that I love Rasulullah so much, Allah is saying, if you really love Allah and you really love Rasulullah, فَاتَّبِعُونِ. Obey this man. Obey this messenger that brought the message. And that is why Rasulullah said, مَنْ أَحَبَّنِي فَقَدْ أَطَاعَنِي. Whoever loves me, loves Rasulullah just by the mentioning of the name, فَقَدْ أَطَاعَنِي, then he would have certainly obeyed me. He would obey whatever is the sunnah in that mu'amala, in that interaction. He would have obeyed whatever is demanded from them. He would obey whatever is the commandment for them, whatever the obligation is in whatever relationship, whether it's as a father or as a brother or a son or a husband. Whatever relationships we behold, brothers and sisters, we have to be obedient to the Allah's matter first and foremost, and also Rasulullah. And obviously, obedience of Rasulullah and implementing his sunnah in this life is part of it. And that would show the emblem of love. Because that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. That if you really want to show your love, show it in action. Words are very easy to say. Talk is cheap, as they say in this country. But action demands commitment and devotion. It demands action, physical implementation of sunnah. Demands and warrants sacrifice. Yes, we say that riba is haram, riba is haram. But what good is to say riba is haram if I'm not obeying what Rasulullah said, then look. And what Allah is saying in the Quran, then look. That if you don't let go of riba, فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْضٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Even the Rasul will turn face away from us if he gets to know on Yawm al-Qiyamah that this mu'min and this mu'mina was engaged in riba, engaged in interest and usury. Their whole 5 fingers or 10 fingers was literally glued in their whole hayat in riba. And then they claimed, أَنَّ وَحَبُّ رَسُولَهُ. I would even sacrifice my life for Rasulullah. What good is this sacrifice? What good is this love? What good is this claim when it does not signify in action the personification of Rasulullah? Wouldn't he certainly ask us on Yawm al-Qiyamah, did you not get my hadith? Did you not get the Quran that Allah sent? Then stay away from him. Did you not get the warning from Allah? Then look, be prepared for a war, a battle. I mean, if this is not strong enough a warning, what else do we need bigger than that to think about? Harb. Harb. فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Even the Rasul will not be a shafi' when a person is engaged in riba. How can Rasulullah make shafa'ah for a mu'min and mu'mina who was all their life engaged in riba, and then on Yawm al-Qiyamah they come, Ya Rasulullah, ashfi' li Ya Rasulullah. And the angels will come and say, no Ya Rasulullah, they disobeyed you. يعصونك بعدك. They will disobey you on this earth afterwards. And that is why Allah SWT is very clearly saying, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. What will you get in return? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah will shower His love upon us. Allah will bestow His love and mercy and rahmah upon us. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. See, the maghfirah, the ghufran, is being attached to the ta'at of Rasulullah. And with ta'at of Rasulullah is ta'at of Allah. And with the ta'at of Allah, we have the hub of Allah and hub of Rasulullah. It's like a cycle, recycling, all the way through. But if we ourselves break that cycle by the disobedience of the sunnah of Rasulullah, then how on earth do we accept the cycle to go? And that is why Allah SWT tells us, قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah's mother is saying that, O Rasulullah, tell them, Ajir Allah Rasul, obey Allah and obey the Rasulullah. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا. And if you turn away, if you turn away and reject whatever is there, the commandments, then فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. And certainly remember that rejection does not bring any good, because Allah doesn't love those who reject. Reject the commandment of Allah. Reject the amr of Allah. Reject the order of Allah and His Prophet ﷺ. If the Rasulullah ﷺ said that this is the way for Jannah, you do these things A, B, C, D, and E, and we come up with our own personification, we come up with our own agenda that no, we should do D, E, F, and G first before the A, B, C, D, and then how do we expect for Him to make shafa'ah for us? Because He will be given, inshaAllah ta'ala, on that maqam, that martaba, in Yawm al-Qiyamah, of shafa'ah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None other than Him, and He will be making shafa'ah for His ummah. It's a big honor, a big privilege for any one of us to be having the intercession of Rasulullah. Imagine when Rasulullah takes your name, Fulan ibn Fulan, Ya Allah, forgive him. Fulan ibn Fulan, Ya Allah, اغفر له, forgive him. They were ignorant, they were in jahiliyyah. But how would he would make the shafa'ah when the love is only on the tongue but not the heart? And that is what Allah SWT tells us about the shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. It's so easy to say that from the tongue. But to implement the shahada and put it in the heart and the soul, it's so difficult because it requires and demands sacrifice, compromise, hard work, effort, rigorously draining our energy and resources to implement. We can't get anything in this world without effort. How on earth do we expect to get the love and respect of Rasulullah for us without implementing His Sunnah? Is His Sunnah to only come on one day in the whole year and dress good and cook good food and put lighting and put candles and put this and put that and then sing all night and pray all night and then the next day I go and I beat up my wife, I go and I beat up my husband, I go and I trash my parents, I go and I badmouth my brothers and sisters, I go and cheat from my own people, I go and deceive others, I go and go and go. Is this the sunnah? Is this the love of Rasulullah? Do we think like other religions that one day and you will get a blank check, you get a certificate of forgiveness. One day you just come and celebrate and that's it. And for the rest of the life you don't need to worry, or for the rest of the year don't need to worry until that day comes up again. If we are getting this philosophy, then we are getting in a very dangerous philosophy. Because the love of Rasulullah should be alive and thriving every day with our, within our hearts and soul, in our actions, in our ma'amilat, in our interactions. The person who claims that they love Rasulullah and then they curse their own loved ones in the house, and then they lose temper in front of their own children and go ballistic, that the child even gets so much traumatized and terrorized that he or she dare open their mouth in front of their father or mother. Is this the love of Rasulullah? Is this the way that Rasulullah dealt with his kids? Is this the way he did tarbiyah of his kids? Is this the way he had the shafaqah and mahabba with his kids? And vice versa, when it comes to the kids, is this the way that he dealt with his parents, with his relatives of his parents? Obviously he was an orphan, he never saw his parents. But the time, he always told people that, look, those who are orphan, respect your parents' relatives, respect your uncle and aunts, respect your father's brothers and sisters, your mother's brothers and sisters, because in the respect and obedience of them is the obedience of your parents, even though they're not with you. And we see his ma'amila with his uncles, with his aunts. We see his relationship with his respect with his uncles and aunts. And then we go on screaming that we love him so much that we go and badmouth our uncle and aunts. We curse at them. We do ghibah, namima. Oh, I don't like that uncle of mine. I don't like that cousin of mine. I don't like that aunt of mine. I don't want to go to her house. I don't want to go to his house. I don't want to exchange greetings on Eid because I can't just stand the face of my uncle and aunt. Is this the words of someone who claims yadda'i annahu yuhibbu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Mustaheel. It's impossible. Contradiction. Because no matter what happens to us, because shaitan is very, very treacherous. Shaitan will always whisper in your mind, you are justified in your jealousy and enmity towards your relatives. You have haqq, you have your right to exercise your freedom and show your feeling towards your cousins, towards your father's brothers and sisters, towards your mother's brothers and sisters. Why? Because they did this to you, they said this to you, they taunted you, they criticized. This is shaitan whispering in our minds and souls to justify our behavior and to make us forget and neglect. How did Rasulullah ﷺ deal with his uncle? How did Rasulullah ﷺ deal with his aunt? How did Rasulullah ﷺ deal with his cousins? How did Rasulullah ﷺ deal with his grandchildren and his children? We forget all these things in the midst of the temper because shaitan is playing with our emotions. And that is why Allah tells us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu atiu Allah wa atiu Rasul. In many different places Allah comes with the order of obedience. But in this place Allah is bringing the word, the fa'l, twice to signify the importance that look, in many places Allah says, atiu Allah wa Rasul. Rasul is added on with waw and atf, waw of the addition. That obey Allah and the Prophet. But here in this ayah, specifically, significantly, Allah is saying, Atiyu Allah, obey Allah, wa atiyu Rasul, and obey the Prophet also. Don't consider that you just obey Allah and that's it, you obey Rasulullah. Make sure that you know the importance, the ahamiyyah of the obedience, ta'at Rasulullah. Atiyu Allah, wa atiyu Rasul. In this ayah, specifically mentioned, those of us who are non-Arabs, we have to understand the grammar, the nahw of Arabic. But the reason Allah has mentioned the fi'l second time, to put ta'keed, ta'zeem, and ahamiyyah, that look, don't take it for granted. Don't treat it so little, the obedience of Rasulullah. Allah holds and cherishes very highly the obedience of Rasulullah. And that's what Allah Osman says, يَا الَّذِينَ أَمْرُوا أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولِ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَعْزَأْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرَدُّوهَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولِ. Allah's mother is saying that obey Allah and obey the Prophet ﷺ and those who are above you in authority. Ulil amr minkum, the parents, the uncles, the teachers, the elders, all these come. The supervisor, the manager, anyone who is above us in authority that Allah has appointed them for us. That is ulil amr. فَإِنْ تَنَعْزَأْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. Allah is acknowledging that look, you are humans, I understand. You can have difference of opinion. You can have disagreement and disputes. فَإِنْ تَنَعْزَأْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَتَعْلِي الْعِيشِ خَلَاسْ إِصُبُّ عَلَى بَعْضُ بَعْضٍ. If you have تَنَعْزَأْ, if you have disagreement, what should you do? Start cursing at each other? Start bad-mouthing each other? Start insulting each other? Or should you do what Allah says? فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهُ وَلِلْرَسُولِ. When you have a disagreement, dispute amongst yourselves, bring it back to the Quran and Sunnah, and bring it back to the authentic sources, resources, so that you can find an amicable solution to your disputes and disagreements. Then Allah tells us a very stern warning ayah. وَمَن يُشَاقِقِ رَسُولَ مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى نُصْلِي جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ اسْتَغْفَرَ اللَّهُ الْعَزِيمُ. SubhanAllah. Allah is giving a very harsh warning that don't you dare ever even think about it, O Muslim, O Muslimah. Don't you even think about disobeying Rasulullah when he has given an opinion. If Rasulullah has said about this issue in this way, and you come to know of it, and you say, no, my heart doesn't feel right. It doesn't fit in with me. It doesn't blend. I still gotta do what I gotta do. Yes, thank you very much for the information. Thank you very much for the hadith, for the Quran, for the fatwa. But I still gotta go my way. That is what Allah is saying. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِ, literally cutting off, going the other way. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّ لَهُمُ الْهُدَى. When the guidance has been shown to them, when the authority has been shown to them, and after looking at the guidance and the source of guidance and the authority, they go the other way. What does Allah give them? وَيَتَّبِ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And they follow the sabil غير المؤمنين, not the sunnah of Rasulullah, not the sunnah of the people of the Ahlul Salaf and Salih. but rather they follow the other way. Allah says, نَوَلِّهِ مَا تُوَلَّى وَنُسْلِي جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Allah says, and we will certainly show them a very harsh way, meaning in the hereafter they will not be, they will be taking a detour. They won't be going to Jannah directly, they will have to go through via detour. And then Allah also says, what is that detour? وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever is directed towards Jahannam, then that is an evil abode to be there. And then Allah tells us about the blessing and the praise of those people. Those people who follow Rasulullah, who are they and with whom will they live in Jannah? Because you know Jannah has many different maratib, Jannah has many different levels. Allah tells us, again in Surah Nisa, verse 69, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ رَسُولَهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. This rifq, الرفق مع الصالحين, الرفق مع الشهداء, الرفق مع الصديقين, الرفق مع الأنبياء. This صحبه, this companionship that every believing soul is dying for, to be in the companionship of the Anbiya. Imagine you living in the grade level of Jannah, the highest grade where all the prophets are. Imagine seeing Musa al-Islam on a daily basis. Imagine meeting Ibrahim al-Islam on a daily basis. Imagine meeting Zakaria, Yahya, Isa, and Hud, and all these prophets that we see. Imagine seeing them on a daily basis. Why? Because you are ma hasuna ulaika rafiqa. Why? Because of only one thing. Ta'atu Rasul al-Islam. That's what Allah is saying. If you really want to show and exemplify your love, don't just do lip service. Show it in action. Show it like the people who came before Muhammad ﷺ. Those people who followed their prophets. Allah will join all the followers of those prophets in one state level. With all the prophets, where there will be people from the Siddiqeen. They fulfilled their trust, their sabaqa to the haq, to the tawheed. And there will be with those who are shuhada, they even give up their life for the sake of this deen, for the sake of this a'la kalimatullah. And they will be there with the salihin, the righteous one. People who always try to preserve their identity, who always try to preserve their sanctity of iman. People who always try to be very, very cautious of not letting any evil afflict even the smallest portion of their cloth. As if like a spark of fire coming towards you and creates a hole in the fabric of your clothing and you feel so bad about it. Hey, I should have stayed away from that fire. Look, that small spark came and put a hole in my clothing. Now my clothing looks bad. This is the way the mu'min believes of themselves. The very fabric of iman, the very fabric of the love of Rasulullah needs to be preserved and secluded from ma'siyah, from sayyi'at. And rather be protected, immunized with hasanat and good deeds. That is what Allah is saying. That فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ عَمَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah gives His bestowing, His mercy, His rahmah. Allah bestows His gift and blessing, ni'mah upon those people who truly and sincerely and dearly and purely implement the love of the Prophet in their action and life. That when others meet them, they say, Wallahi, I remember Allah when I see that brother or sister. Wallahi, I remember the sunnah of Rasulullah when I see that brother or sister. Look at their ma'amala. Look at their smile. Look at their action. Look at their interaction. Look at their doing. Look at the words they choose from their tongue. It reminds me of the life of Rasulullah. When people begin to say this about you, brothers and sisters, remember this is the witness on the earth of the love of Rasulullah. Not celebrating one whole night and then forgetting for the next 365 days that do I really have the love of Rasulullah? Or people begin to have shock, have doubt. أَقُولُ قَوَلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُونَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُونَ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu salam ala Rasul Kareem, wa ala alihi wa sahabi wa sunnah bi sunnati yawm al-deen, amma ba'd. Brothers and sisters, in this world, in this life that we live, which is only so temporary as we all know, but yet we forget about it because we are insan, from nisyan, we forget about it. And reminder is good. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah says, and remind them, keep reminding them, Allah says in the Quran, Why? فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ certainly reminder, tenfold benefits, gives productivity, something of goodness, benefit, tenfold المؤمنين, the believers. If there was one thing to reflect upon in our lives today, each one of us is in some kind of issue or difficulty or problem. There's not a single mu'min on this earth that may not be afflicted with some kind of issue. Nobody is issueless. No matter what their maratib is, if someone is an alim, a scholar, Allah plagues them also with some things. If someone is just very, very low, not even praying Jum'ah, not even praying Eid, just a Muslim by name, Allah plagues them also with some issues. Everybody has their issues. But if we really begin to reflect and ponder upon our issues, whether those issues become a problem tomorrow, a difficulty tomorrow, an accident tomorrow, a calamity tomorrow, whether you could have averted that issue to become and boil into something big, one thing that we need to focus on is the mission statement of Rasul ﷺ. He said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Today we keep gasping at each other. Today we keep asking our soul, when, oh Allah, will my halal change? When will my circumstances change? When will my styles become different? When will I become and live in that style that we read in the Sunnah, we read in the books of Seerah, we read in the books of the Sahaba, that the merry, joyous life they lived with peace and tranquility and serenity? When will I be not be able to take any medicine to give me sleep? When will I have the opportunity, oh Allah, that I lie down in the bed and sleeps come to me within 30 seconds, not 30 minutes, 30 hours or so, as some studies say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that if we only reflect upon our soul and see how far or how close we are from the akhlaq of Rasul Islam, that's what Allah said in the Quran, in Surah Noon, Noon وَالْقَلْعُ مَا يَسْرُونَ, that Allah is swearing by the qalam, by the very pen with which we write. Allah then tells us later on in that surah, 2-3 ayahs later, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, about Rasulullah ﷺ. You are on the best standard of akhlaq. If we can rectify and modify and beautify our akhlaq in every aspect, our akhlaq to our parents, our akhlaq to our spouses, whether we husband or wife, our akhlaq to our children, our akhlaq to our uncle and aunts and relatives and the aqraba, our akhlaq to our other people. If we just pick this one thing, believe you me, brothers and sisters, every problem, every calamity, every difficulty you have in your life will wither away like a storm just pass by, whiz through, and you are not even caught in the eye of the storm. You won't feel it. Because this is what we see from the biographies of the Sahaba. This is what we see from the lifestyle of the Sahaba. That yes, they were also plagued with many issues and difficulties, but they never felt the pain. Why? Because they were always in front of Rasulullah, seeing him eye to eye, listening to him with their ears, implementing everything they saw and heard from him in their lifestyle, embodied it to become an emblem of Islam. And today, the major problem that we have is we haven't perfected the akhlaq that Rasulullah brought for us. We always complain, moan, groan, whine, keep whining and whining, thinking that as if something will drop down from the heavens, from the skies, and will solve all our issues and problems in life. Whether it's husband wife fighting, whether it's family feud, whether it's bickering between relatives, whether it's brother and brother, whether it's father and son, or mother and children, whatever the case may be, we are plagued with so many issues. The Ummah of Muhammad as if Rasulullah is saying, pounding to us, have you forgotten my hadith that I told you? إِنَّمَا بُعِشْتُ, I have certainly indeed been sent. Out of all the other mission statements, one of the things that I've really been sent, أُتَمِّنَا, complete, مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, the standards of akhlaq, of manners and etiquettes, so that people can feel the softness of rule when they deal with you or when you deal with others. They don't feel the harshness of the thorn and the rocks when they deal with you or you deal with them. If we can focus on this one issue of akhlaq, believe you me, brothers and sisters, our little petty issues in house, bickering, little things that catch up fire and become a big thing, that tomorrow you see families separating, divorces happening, families not seeing each other, this enchantment, this disgruntlement, this unification amongst the ummah, Because of little petty issues. Why? Because we don't focus on one thing, and that is akhlaq. How to react or act in response to other people's behavior. How to. And the one thing that you see from the life of Rasulullah, if there's anything more than to be seen, his patience. People threw trash on him. People put the stone on him. How did he respond? With flowers. With patience. Isbir. Sabr. Sabr. Today we are so impatient, and that is one of the key problems of not implementing the akhlaq of Rasulullah. The slightest pain comes our way, we become so impatient so rapidly that we just want to seek revenge, seek retaliation, seek our haq. And then we go to this justification, even quoting ayats left and right. Look, I have haq, I have my right, my duty to seek this measure, because there's an ayah like this, there's a hadith of this. But what if we just let go? What if we just forgive and forget? What if we just leave the amr, the issue? Even if we have been wronged and oppressed, what if we just leave that issue to Allah? Let Allah take care of it. Let Allah take my revenge. Let Allah deal with the people who have oppressed me, who have irritated me, who have pestered me. Let Allah deal with that. This is exactly the ideology that Rasulullah left behind for us. But somewhere it caught dust upon it and got embedded in the sand, that we have to now sift through it, blow the sand over and see that everything, what happened at Taif, what do we see from his example? The angels were ready. They said, you just don't have to say from your tongue, Ya Rasulullah. Just with a blink of your eye, you give us the amr, and we will crush this whole city of Taif for what they have done to you. What did he say? He said, no, leave it to Allah. I don't want revenge. I don't want retaliation. I know what they have gone through with me. But la'allah, maybe Allah will make from them some Muslim, some believer. And today the whole city is full of believers. If we can just adopt and adapt this one emblem, there are many gems, there are many jewels, there are many pearls from the hayat of Rasulullah that we stand here, we can never finish till we go to there. But if we just pick on one, this one issue, believe you me, brothers and sisters, you will see drastically, overnight, your affairs, your life, your ma'amalat change. And you'll be amazed. And this is something that is implemented. This is something experienced. I myself experienced. My teachers experienced. Those who taught us experienced. Those who took it from us experienced it. You can experience. This is a cure and medicine which you implement in your life today. Tomorrow you will see its atharat, its influence, its impact. It's not something that you take a medicine today and maybe a week later, a month later, you see its results. No, this is instantaneous. It's spontaneous. You'll see the results of the adoption of this akhlaq of Rasulullah. Every time you feel the pain or you feel the urge, the emotion to do something, the first question you say, what would the Rasul do in this scenario? Scenario. Play the role. But what would the Rasul do in this scenario? If it's a daughter-in-law trying to have difficult time with her mother-in-law, she should first ask, what would the Rasul do in this? If it's the mother-in-law or the mother feeling pains in her own children, she would say, what would the Rasul do here? If it's the children feeling that, they, every single relationship should ask themselves this question, what would the Rasul Islam would have done in this situation? And then when you ask this question, obviously for the explanation answer, you will go into depth, into finding. And that is why the Prophet said, مَنْ بَيَّ سُنَّةِ حُرَّمَتْ عَلَيْهِ شَفَاعَةِ. Do we want to waste the Sunnah of Rasulullah? The Sunnah of Rasulullah is there for every single thing, for every single relationship, for every single problem and issue, conflict resolution that we try and look for, there is something from the Sunnah of Rasulullah. But once we find it, and we don't implement it, we just put it aside, my nafs doesn't fit right. My heart doesn't seem right. I'll think about it later. It's as if we are disregarding Rasulullah. It's as if we are returning away from the face of Rasulullah. And that is what Rasulullah is saying, مَنْ ضَيَّ سُنَّةِ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْهِ شَفَاعَةِ. Subhanallah. He said, whoever wasted my sunnah, whoever ridicules my sunnah, whoever disregards my sunnah, whoever does not implement my sunnah, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْهِ شَفَاعَةِ. He is saying himself, that upon that Muslim or Muslimah will be haram the shafa'ah, intercession of Rasulullah. Would we want to do that, brothers and sisters? Would we want to deliberately, knowingly prohibit, forbid ourselves from the rahmah, from the shafa'ah of Rasulullah by dhiya' sunnatu? This is the question. And in conclusion, I want to say this hadith of Rasulullah, he said, كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. Every person from my ummah will enter Jannah, he said. إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى, except those who deny. See, he did not say disobey, he said deny. Meaning if we don't want to implement, if we deny implementing a sunnah, it's as if we are stopping our own selves from entering the Jannah. And that is what he said. They asked him, وَمَنْ أَبَى يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, who are the ones who are going to literally deny? Say that, no, we don't want to get, I mean, would a same Muslim ever say that? No. That's why they went to ask him, who would ever want to think like that? Rasulullah said, مَنْ أَطَعْنِي دَخْرَ الْجَنَّةِ, whoever obeyed me will certainly enter Jannah. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى, and whoever disobeys me, they are the ones who are indirectly, inherently saying, but they're not saying it verbally, but they're really saying from their actions, hey, I'm not concerned about Jannah. I'm not worried about it. I'm not interested in it. That is the word Aba. Aba means what? The same thing Allah used about Iblis in the Quran. Aba wastakbara wa kana min al-jinn. Allah says that he Aba, he denied. He denied, refused from bowing down to Adam. And that is what Rasul is saying. Man faqad Aba. Man asani faqad Aba. Kullu amalin laysa ala sunnati fahuwa ma'siyah. Every amal that is not on the sunnah of Rasul is certainly a disobedience. Last but not the least, I'd like to finish with this sha'r. For those of you who are Arabs, you will know from the Arabic language, a very beautiful poetry from Rabia Basura, from the awliya of Allah. She said once about the love of Rasul. She was addressing the people who claim from their tongues that they love Rasul, but they have a contradiction in their action, in their behavior, in their attire, in the personification of this earth. She said, تَحْسِنْ إِلَهُ وَأَنْتَ تَظْهُرْ حُبَّهُ. تَحْسِنْ إِلَهُ, you disobey Allah. وَأَنْتَ, and you, O listener, تَظْهُرْ حُبَّهُ, you say, I love Allah, but you disobey Allah. هَذَا لِعُمْرٍ فِي الْقِيَاسِ بَذِيعٍ. In my whole life, in my intellect, فِي الْقِيَاسِ, in my intellect, in my understanding, comprehension, this is بَذِيعٍ, something very unheard of, something very uncomprehendable. That somebody claims from their tongue, oh, I love Allah, I love Rasul, and they show their love just by verbally. But in action, ta'si, they disobey. لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَا تَعْتُهُ. She then says, oh listener, if your love was truly, sincerely, purely for Allah and the Prophet saying, صَادِقًا, it was sidq, it was sincere and truthful, لَأَطَعْتُهُ, you would have certainly obeyed Rasul عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ مُحِبْ مُطِيعٍ. What a beautiful principle she left behind in this sha'r. That إِنَّ الْمُحِبْ لِمَنْ مُحِبْ مُطِيعٍ. Whoever claims that they are a lover of someone, if they are a lover, if I say I love my father, I have to obey my father. If I claim from the bottom of my heart I love my mother, I have to be obedient to her. How can I say that I love my father and mother, and then I talk trash to them, and then I disobey them, and I don't even think about the respect and honor? In the same way, if I claim I love Rasulullah, where is the sunnah of Rasul in my life? Both physically, spiritually, in any aspect. I ask Allah to forgive us for all of our minor and major sins. I ask Allah to forgive us for all the ma'asiyah that we did in terms of Rasulullah's sunnah. And I ask Allah, I plead, I beg Allah, that Allah give us the hub of Rasulullah. Give us the tawfiq, may Allah, to obey his sunnah. Oh Allah, give us the love of implementing his sunnah in our life, in our heart, in our soul, in our ma'amilat. Oh Allah, truly make us the lovers of Rasulullah and lovers of you, ya Allah. اللهم انف المسلمين والمسلمات المؤمنين والمؤمنات الاحياء منهم والاموات انك انت سمي مجيب الدعوات عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله